In the time that we have before Maariv, I just want to reflect with you about Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, about today, and hopefully this will add a dimension to our entire observance of the 3 weeks leading up to Tisha B'Av. You know, the Mishnah in Tanis, on Daf Chaf Vav, the Mishnah tells us that there were five events. Hamisha Devarim, Ir'ur Savosenu, B'Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, V'Chamisha B'Tisha B'Av. Five things took place on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and five things took place on Tisha B'Av. The Ben Yehoyada actually comments that 5 plus 5 equals 10, and that idea is that effectively the reason why we suffered is because we did not keep all Aseres HaDibros. In Kabbalah sources also, the Ben Yehoyada then goes on and he says that there are two different letters Hey in the Shem Hashem. There's Yud Kei Vav Kei, and effectively we damaged both the first letter Hey and the second letter Hey. That's the 5 on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and the 5 on Tisha B'Av. Now what happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz? So Mishnah says on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, Nishtabru Haluchos, the Luchos are broken, Butal HaTamid, the Karban Tamid was not offered, was stopped being offered, Hufka Ha'ir, the city walls were breached, Saraf Apustamus as HaTorah, Apostamos burned the Torah, and Hu Amad Salam Behechal, according to Rashi, Menashe put a tselem, he put an image, a graven image, in the Heichal, in the Beis HaMikdash. So these are the 5 things that took place. The Luchos is broken, is the first one. Now, when you think about it, the Luchos being broken is not really the tragedy. The Luchos being broken is the aftermath of the tragedy, no? The tragedy is that the Jewish people worship the Egel. The tragedy is that Moshe Rabbeinu comes down. We know, by the way, it's the 17th day of Tammuz. The Gemara explains because the Torah was given on the 6th day of Sivan. Right then, right, Moshe went up on Har Sinai. If you do advanced mathematics, 40 days after the 6th day of Sivan equals the 17th day of Tammuz, no? It just works out. So we know that it's the 17th day of Tammuz. But what's so bad about the Luchos being broken? Presumably, that's just the aftermath, right? Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, he sees that the people are worshipping the Egel, they are dancing, they're enjoying themselves. Apparently, the Avodah Zarah itself is not the problem. The Pasuk makes a point of noting that the real problem, or part of the real problem, is that they're enjoying themselves so much, Vayaris ha'egel umcholos, that they are dancing. So then, as a result of that, the Luchos are broken. So why is the Luchos being broken? Why is that the tragedy that's mentioned in the Mishnah? That's a question which I think is worth focusing on. And part of the answer to this question is something that the Beis Halevi, you know, the Beis Halevi in his Sefer on Chumash has a few drushos that he gave in the middle. So drusha number 18 of the Beis Halevi that's printed in his Sefer on Chumash, the Beis Halevi speaks about what was the difference between the first Luchos and the second Luchos. You see, when you think about it, we could ask the question in another way. So what if the Luchos are broken? We got another set of Luchos afterwards. So what's the big deal?
It's 2020 hindsight.
Right? So it's 2020 hindsight, that's true. But ultimately, right now, I'm in a hindsight perspective because I'm fasting because the Luchos were broken. Well, what's so bad about the Luchos being broken? That's part of the question. So the Beis Halevi addresses this question. And the Beis Halevi develops a theory that fundamentally, Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shnios were completely different. The first Luchos that we received, says the Beis Halevi, had all of Torah on them, written on the Luchos. Now, what that means is, we think about a break between Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebaalpeh, between the written Torah and the oral Torah. And these are two different things. But the Luchos Rishonos, those first Luchos that were completely the handiwork of God. Those first luchos were written in such a way that a person could read the luchos. The Gemara in Shabbos says that you could read them backwards and forwards, whichever side it is, even though the writing goes through, and that should be impossible. But it's written in this miraculous way, and part of the miracle that Beis Halevi explains is that all of Torah Sheba'al Peh could be seen by reading those words. So there was no divide between written Torah and oral Torah with the first luchos. And this had to be true of the first luchos only, not of the second luchos, because by the time the second luchos came, after the breaking of the first luchos, so then Torah Shebiksav is written, and Torah Sheba'al Peh, the oral Torah, that has to be transmitted from teacher to student. That's something that requires another level of transmission. But originally, everything was written. Beis Halevi comments on the Gemara in Erev and Daf Nun Dalet. The Gemara says that had the luchos not been broken, lo nishtakcha Torah miYisrael, forgetfulness would be impossible. Wouldn't that be awesome? Not to be able to forget anything, at least any Torah. That'd be like the greatest thing ever, no? I would love that. Right? Not to be able to forget any Torah. And the Gemara says that the reason why there's forgetfulness in Torah is because those first luchos are broken. What does that mean? Right? Mankind, by definition, men and women were mortal, we forget. The answer is no, you couldn't forget, because the first luchos, everything is there. It's all in the text. You would be able to figure everything out, right? In other words, the Torah says, V'hayula totafos b'nei necha, and I don't know what totafos are, and I have to have a Torah Sheba'al Peh to explain that to me, but luchos rishonos would convey that message itself. Had the same Gemara in Erevin, Daf Nun Dalet, Omale lo nishtabru haluchos, lo haisa uma v'loshon sholetes b'hem. Had the first luchos not been broken, so no nation would ever be able to control the Jewish people. Golos would have been an impossibility. The notion of golos is that we are subservient to others, no? If not for the breaking of the first luchos, golos would not be possible. The Beis Halevi develops a whole theory how this connects to the forgetfulness of Torah, etc. That's something that's worth looking into. But the point that the Beis Halevi is driving at is that when the first luchos were broken, something changed in the history of Torah. And that something is that now we can forget, now we have a Torah Sheba'al Peh, and Torah Sheba'al Peh is something that by definition involves transmission from teacher to student, and like we know from the game of telephone that we used to play as kids, things always get messed up in that game. Right? And there's always going to be distortions. Torah Shebiksav, right, if it was all written, so those distortions couldn't happen. So one could argue that the reason why the Mishnah, in explaining the first bad thing of Shavasar B'Tamas, doesn't speak about the Egel itself, but it speaks about Nishtabru Haluchos, is because the Egel was a sin. But it didn't make a permanent change in the transmission of Torah the same as the breaking of the Luchos did. Yes, the Egel is a very serious sin, but the Egel is the type of sin that could be rectified. The Mishnah continues. The second of the bad things that took place on Shavasar B'Tamuz is Butal HaTamid. The carbon Tamid was not offered. Now, there's a bit of a dispute. The Gevuras Ari comments that Butal HaTamid, he thinks, was in the second Beis HaMikdash. If you read the Rambam in Perakei of Hilchos Taniyos Halacha Beis, the Rambam says that it was in the first Beis HaMikdash. But the point is that on the 17th of Tammuz, and this, the Gemara says, is a Gemara, it's a tradition. There's no psukim to teach us this. It's just a tradition. But the 17th of Tammuz, it's not just that all karbanos stop. It's the karban tamid stops. The karban tamid reflects something very special. Every single day, as karbani lachmi li ishai, every day you bring this karban. No? There's something about the constancy, the consistency, that we know everything will operate like clockwork. That's the carbon tumid. Other carbonals change day to day, right? This yontiv, we bring this musaf. That yontiv, we bring that musaf. Tumid is the same. With the shivasar batamos, so the constancy, the consistent relationship that we had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the tumid is brought, that stopped. Again, the Yerushalmi over here has a comment that this is the result of the ongoing siege, that they no longer had enough animals, and they were asking people outside the city to send animals up. The Gemara in Gittin has a similar story, and eventually they sent up some pigs rather than the carbonos, and the pigs like dug their claws into the walls of Yerushalayim, and the city began to shake. Right? That's what it says. But the idea of butal hatomet itself is very significant. You know, there's a medrash that only appears in the Hakdama of the Ein Yaakov. It doesn't appear anywhere else. We know the famous comment of Rabbi Akiva that v'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha is zeklal gadol v'torah. That the greatest thing, the general rule that subsumes Torah is to love someone. Beautiful. Correct. But interestingly, the Medrash that's quoted in the Hakdama to the Ein Yaakov says that that's what Rabbi Akiva said, but Ben Azai said, Yesh klal gadol yosem yizeh. There's even a greater principle than v'haftal reyecha kamocha. And that is, es hakeves echa tasa v'aboker, es hakeves hasheni tasa ben harabayim. And like you read the Medrash, and like you scratch your head. What does that mean? The answer is that to live a life of consistency, first of all, it's very hard, no? We all have these days when you get up. For me, it's like 6 out of every 7 days. You get up in the morning and like, I really have to go to Davin? I really got to do this? Come on. Right? The life of consistency is a very hard life to live. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do that. Zeklal Gadol BaTorah. To live a consistent life, that means whether we feel the moment of inspiration or not, we do what Hashem is asking of us. And what we lost on Shavasar Batamos was the height of this consistency with Butal HaTamid. The Karban Tamid was no longer brought. The next comment in the Mishnah, Hufka Ha'ir, the city wall is breached. Now, the Gemara tells us, Talmud Bavli says that this was true both by Yisrishon and by Yishen. The Hufka Ir, the Gemara asks a question. What do you mean that it happened on Shivasar Batamos? Doesn't the Pasuk say, right, the Pasuk at the end of Malachim Bey say that it happened on the 9th day of Tamuz? So the answer is that by Yisrishon it happened on the 9th of Tamuz. By Yisheni it happened on the 17th. Right, that's what Talmud Bavli says. And Talmud Yerushalmi interestingly writes that really they both happened on the 17th. How come the Pasuk says the 9th? So the Yerushalmi has a comment, Tosfos quoted in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Ches, has a comment that, you know what, they got mixed up with the dates. Because of the Korban, they get all confused. 9, 17, it's like fuzzy math, you know, Al Gore, whatever it is. It's like, oh, all confusing. What's going on over here? Now, on a certain level, I would argue that the Yerushalmi's comment of the fuzzy math, of that we're all confused, we don't know, is it 9:17, that's a product of the first point that we mentioned, which is Nishtabru Haluchos. If not for the luchos being broken, forgetfulness wouldn't be possible. And you can't have a mistake. Did it happen 9? Did it happen 17? I don't know when it happened. Right? The answer would be no. Of course you know when it happened. But right, the mistake is only because the concept of forgetfulness is really possible after the luchos broke. The Magen Avraham has a comment. He says that a baal nefesh, a religious person, I don't want to ask for a show of hands how many of you are religious, but when you hear what the Magen Avraham defines as a religious person, you know, and my guess is that probably no one in this room is religious. Magen Avraham says a religious person fasts both on the 9th of Tammuz and on the 17th of Tammuz. That's what he says. Because since Bayis Rishon was on 9 and Bayis Sheni 17, if you're really religious, you fast on 9 and 17. The Mishnah Berurah, interestingly, although Mishnah Berurah is a digest, he's supposed to quote all of the opinions of the poskim before him. So Mishnah Berurah says, I'm not quoting this Magen Avraham because I think it's wrong. The Mishnah Berurah feels, he doesn't exactly tell you why it's wrong. He says, I ain't looking a certain sefer. Why it's wrong. He doesn't tell you why. In the Shar HaTzion, he says, I didn't quote the Magen Avraham, I ain't over there. According to the Yerushalmi, there's no reason at all to fast both on day 9 and on day 17. Because according to Yerushalmi, both Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni happened on the 17th, and therefore there'd be no Indian whatsoever to fast. Next comment in the Mishnah. Sarav Apostamos es HaTorah. There was this fellow, Apostamos, and he burned the Torah. The Gemara comments that we don't have any real source for this. Gemara, it's a tradition. We have a tradition, Apostamos burned the Torah on 17th day of Tammuz. Now, let me ask you, what's so bad about burning the Torah? Now, obviously it's terrible. Obviously it's a tragedy, right? But there have been many, many times in Jewish history that Torahs were burned. No? I myself remember as a kid going to a levaya. There was like a fire in some shul, and they made a levaya for the Sefer Torah that were burned. That's the practice that you, right? Rav Soloveitchik wrote a famous Yiddish language essay about a Yid is like a ligner Sefer Torah, that a Jew is like a live Sefer Torah, and we compare Sefer Torah and Jews, so we make levayas when the Sefer Torah is burned. But it's happened many, many times. So, ultimately, Apostamus burned the Torah. Big deal. And what else? It doesn't mean HaTorah, the Torah. What's the Torah? So the Teferis Yisrael, Mishnayis, he comments, he has two explanations. His second explanation is, Sarf Apostamus is HaTorah, is that Apostamus, for the first time in history, had a Torah eradication campaign. He was going through the country trying to burn every Torah he could find. And therefore, this is the great tragedy. It's not just an occurrence, a one-time burning of the Torah. This is the great tragedy. What happened that there's a campaign to burn the Torahs. That is the second explanation of the Teferis Yisrael. But the first explanation of Teferis Yisrael is Sarf Apostamus as HaTorah means he burned the Torah. The Torah meaning the famous Sefer Torah that Ezra HaSofer wrote. That's the Torah that was built, that was burned by Apostamus. Now, it's interesting that there are certain halachos of a Torah that was kept in the Azara. You get an impression from the Teferis Yisrael that what he's saying is Apostamus burned the Torah being that Sefer Torah that was kept in the Azara, in the Beis HaMikdash during the Second Temple period, the Sefer Torah that was written by Ezra. In the First Temple period, apparently there's a Torah that was written by Moshe Rabbeinu that they tried to keep. In the Second Temple period, it's a Torah written by Ezra, and that's what Apostamus burned in the Second Temple. And there's special halachos of this Sefer Torah, Sheba Azara, right? Rashi in Bava Basra, Daf Yudalet. For those of you learning Daf Yomi, it was like almost half a year ago, so I won't expect anyone remembers the Rashi in Daf Yudalet in Bava Basra. But Rashi comments that the Sefer Torah, Sheba Azara, had a halacha that they had to read from it at Hakel. At Hakel, they had to read the Sefer Torah, Sheba Azara. Rav Soloveitchik is quoted in the Sefer Mipnini Harav saying that there are other halachos of the Sefer Torah Sheba Azara. There's a Sifra. The Sifra writes that they had a question at one point about whether the word at the end of Chumash is Ma'on Elokei Kedem or Ma'ona Elokei Kedem. Do you have a hey or not? In our texts, we have a hey. But they had a question. So the Sifra writes that what they did is they went and they took out the Sefer Torah Sheba Azara to check. And the Rambam writes that when the melech, when the king, has a mitzvah to write his own Sefer Torah, so he has to be magiyo me Sefer Torah Sheba Azara. You have to correct the Torah from the Torah that's in the Azara. Apparently, Rav Soloveitchik commented that the Sefer Torah was kept in the Azara. Maybe not to read from it ever. Maybe we don't hold like Rashi. But the Sefer Torah Sheba Azara was kept because when you write a Torah, when the king writes a Torah, he has a copy from that. And when you have a Shaila, when you have a question about what's the correct Masorah, what's the correct text, The only way to resolve that question is from the Sefer Torah Shabbat Zohar. That is the most pure Torah. And you know what happened when Sarif Apostoma says HaTorah? It meant that we lost something in the ability to arrive at absolutely clear Masorah. We lost our ability to find out exactly what the Torah really says because Apostomus burned it. So the tragedy of some of Sarif Apostomus' HaTorah in some ways is a similar type of idea to the tragedy of Nishtabru Haluchos, that there's a huge change, a sea change in the transmission of Torah. Right? With the breaking of the Luchos, the change is that now there's a Torah Shabbat Alpes separate than Torah Shabbat Ksav. And with the burning of the Torah, of this particular Torah, the change is that now we lost that connection to the authentic, the most pure tradition, the most pure Mesorah of what the Torah should be. The last line in the Mishnah is Hu Amad Selam Behechal, which is that either Menashe or Apostomus, there are two Girsos in Yerushalmi, put a tselem, put a graven image in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, effectively, the chiddush I'm trying to get at is that some of the points here, there's a lack of consistency with the loss of the Talmud, and obviously having Avodah Zarah in the Beis HaMikdash is a terrible thing, but part of what we mourn on Shavuos or B'Tavos is this huge change in the transmission of Torah. The fact that the Luchos were broken and all that meant, and the fact that the Torah was burned and what that meant. And although this is a terrible tragedy, but there is also a certain positive dimension that emerges from this. At the end of that drasha, the Beis Halevi, he says, you know what? When the Torah was all there, when you could just read the text and you know all the Torah Shabbat Peh also, you don't have to invest your own energies to understand it. And when the Gemara has a comment of Torah delay, that a Talmud Chacham, a man or a woman who really involves himself or herself in study Torah, can acquire it and becomes their own, that wouldn't be true when it's all Torah Shabbat Ksav. The concept of working hard to understand something and breaking your head on it, that's something that is a result of the Shviras Haluchos. Because the Luchos broke, so therefore now we have to work hard on the understanding of Torah. When the Gemara says that that had the Luchos not been broken, there couldn't be Golos. Golos is a terribly negative thing. But as Rav Hirsch always reminds us, Golos also has positive dimensions. It gives us an opportunity to spread our wealth to others. So there are positive dimensions in the breaking of the Luchos in terms of now we have to work hard and we can acquire Torah. And there are positive dimensions now that there is Golos. And I would argue that even the loss of that most authentic Mesorah has something positive, which is that now we have to work hard ourselves to try to figure out what it means and what it says. And whenever we have to work ourselves, there is a tremendous benefit. They quote from the Baal Shem Tov that on the Pasuk Korot Veha Hisiguha Bein Hamitzavim, that if a person is chasing, is pursuing God, during this period of Bein Hamitzavim, you can find God. And I would argue that the reason why you could find God is if we take Shavuos or B'Tavos and the negatives of the transformation of Torah from being all there to now being something that we have to work on, something that we have to acquire, something that we could potentially forget, and we have to make sure we don't forget it. If we take that negative and we work on it, so that negative becomes a positive. Because we are involved in study of Torah, and we are involved in connecting to God on an ongoing basis. We can't just take out a book and read it and know it. We have to be deeply involved. That's a positive. I think one of the challenges of a Bein HaMitzarim period is to reconnect to Torah in a way that we actually take possession of it. You know, our shul is a very special place. And we're a place at Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of Torah learning going on. There are people who are making siyumim, and everything is wonderful. But at the same time, there has been slight, we have tried in the last few weeks, months, years to establish Shi'urim, and some of them have not taken off. Isn't it sad that we don't have enough people in the shul to keep a regular Gemara Iyun Shir going? Isn't that sad? We should be able to do it. We should be able as a community to fill up this Beit Midrash, not only for Monday night learning, but for other nights in the week. We should be involved in Torah study in a deeper way, in a more sustained way. It should be part of our constant life that we should be coming and studying Torah and coming to shul to do it, because it's not the same if you study in your apartment and when you come to shul. And we can do that. We should be the type of community that has more Torah study. And the challenge of a Bein HaMetzarim period is a challenge to take the negatives of the transformation of Torah and to make them into positives and to work on studying Torah in a better way, in a more sustained way. And in that way, we will not have to observe fast days of Shavuot B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av anymore, but instead we should have the Geula B'Mehera B'Yameinu Amen.